I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath Day service at 12 noon. Our motto is, it pays to serve God. Hit us up at IamJesusHolyGhostChurch.org. That's Pastor Aaron B. Williams, live on Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Come on and get the Word of God at its highest level.
Oh, the Bible is right. The Bible is right. You know the Bible is right. Glory to God. We thank God that the Word of God is right. Glory to God. We thank God in Jesus' name. Well, saints of God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we're in the 16th chapter of Proverbs, the 16th chapter of Proverbs. And in the 16th chapter, we're down to the 22nd verse, glory to God. And the 22nd verse says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instruction of fools is folly. The instruction of fools is folly. If you want to folly, glory to God, if you want to waste time, glory to God, try to instruct fools. Amen. Trying to instruct fools is you're dealing with someone, glory to God, who is foolish. Glory to God, he is not going to receive instruction. He's not going to receive wisdom and understanding. He's not going to receive anything you're saying because he is a fool. Amen. You're wasting your time. If a person is a fool, glory to God, if they are fools, glory to God, you're wasting your time trying to instruct them in any kind of wisdom, glory to God. Because they're not going to understand you. They're not going to understand the wisdom. They're not going to appreciate what you're saying. Glory to God, you're wasting your time. That's why in so many disciplines, glory to God, a person has to prove that they really want to do something. They really want to turn their life around. They really want to learn what you have to give them. And if they really want to learn, glory to God, even if they may not be the smartest person in the world, but if they really want to learn, glory to God, you can help them. But when you have a foolish person, when you have a person who's proven themselves to be a fool, and you're going to sit there and try to instruct them, you're wasting your time. You know, what comes to my mind immediately, have you ever seen those gung-fu movies where a person wants to learn gung fu, so he goes to the Shaolin temple. And what does he do? They leave him sit outside for days. It's raining. He's sitting outside the gates. They don't let him in. It's no matter what happens, he just sits there day after day on his knees, sits there day after day. They come out. They go back in. They close the gate. He's still there. What are they doing? A person who is not motivated, who doesn't want what you have to give him, they're not going to receive it. You're wasting your time instructing them. But a person who really wants it, why do they make that inductee sit outside that gate for days, could be even weeks at a time? Because that proves to them that he really wants it. It isn't a fly-by-night thing. It isn't something he just saw and says, ooh, I'd like to do that. Amen. Glory to God. He'll give up after a while and walk away. But the person who really wants it, they don't care how long it takes. They don't care what it takes. They'll sit there, glory to God, until the monks are convinced that they want it. And then they let them in because they know the person really wants it. And when you instruct a person that really wants what you have, It is a joy because they soak up everything. Everything you have for them, they soak up. And then once they soak up all the obvious stuff and they've been there a while and they prove to be faithful and trustworthy, then you can entrust the real stuff to them, the real stuff. So you don't teach the real stuff to them until you absolutely know that they want it and can handle it. Amen? Then you teach the real stuff. There's something else about that too, and that is when you're around a disciple or a person who wants to learn from you, you never can tell when something supernatural is going to come forth from yourself. Amen? You could be walking along or driving someplace with the person, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes on you. And by the Spirit of God, you say something to them profound, life-changing. Many a times the Spirit of God came on me, and I'll go find my wife. I'll find anybody I can find. Because the spirit of prophecy or word of wisdom or word of knowledge is operating through me. And it needs to express itself. It needs to come forth. And you'll speak to the person. Now, they didn't know you were going to say it, that what you're saying. They didn't know that the Holy Ghost was going to come upon you. Glory to God. But if they're at the right place at the right time, they receive the instruction. They receive the wisdom. They receive the understanding. Remember when Elijah was with Elijah? Now, he was with him for a while, quite a while. But one day they were walking, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God came on Elijah, and he turned to Elisha and asked him, "What do you want? What do you want?" And so Elisha said, "A double portion of your anointing." Amen. Now, Elijah didn't wake up that morning and say, "Oh, I'm going to lay it on Elijah today." You never know when the Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you're going to turn to who's ever right there with you and speak a word of wisdom into their life. Speak something into them by the Holy Ghost. Tell them something that only God could know that would change their whole life. That's why it's very important, if you're serious, that if you can, to hang around godly people. But in order to hang around godly people, you have to be wise. Amen? You have to be wise enough to listen and to watch and to listen and to wait, because one day the Holy Ghost is going to come on them and they're going to turn to you for your faithfulness. And because you want it, glory to God, because you want it, they'll give it to you. Jesus said, "To him that hath shall be given." To him that hath shall be given. You know, a person with money, he can make money. But you see, he already has money. To him, now, a broke person, they can't make money because they have no money to make money with. They don't have anything. But to him that hath, he can make more money. Just like Jesus said, "To him that hath, he shall be given more." Amen? The person that has shall be given more. The person that's broke, don't have nothing, who wants to give him something? Amen. The Bible says the poor man, that even his own family, his neighbors, nobody wants to deal with him. Why? Because he doesn't have anything. But a person walks in with means, they got plenty, oh, he can receive more. And that's what Jesus says. To him that hath shall more be given. Amen. But a broke person, they ain't going to get nothing. Amen. Glory to God. And so to instruct fools, is a fool going to get more? Is a fool going to get more? No, because he talks foolish. He acts foolish. He says foolish things. Now, a wise person will hear that and remove themselves far away from a foolish person. Some people want to hang around wise people, but they don't know how to hang around them. They want to start talking, and the wise person detects, "I need to get away from this person." If you're really wise, be quiet. Just be quiet. The Bible says that even a fool is esteemed wise when he shuts his lips. When he keeps quiet, you don't give away that you're not wise. So if you're around wiser people or you want to hang around the wise, keep your mouth closed. Plus, when you're talking, you're not learning anything. You want to learn. You already know what you know. Why do you have to say it? You already know what you know. Why do you have to expound it? And who are you expounding it to? This wise person. They probably know that and more. Amen? The best thing for you to do is to keep quiet. Oh, but I want to show them how wise I am. You're not wise. You're not that wise. The Bible says a fool is known by the multitude of his words. He just talks. You got to give his opinion. You know what a wise person will do? They'll let you do all that talking and all that talking. And when they get through, they'll just remove themselves from your presence. Because they know they don't want to get in an argument with you. It's not going to avail. Amen? So the instructions of fools, it's folly. It's only going to end in folly. Amen? Glory to God. To prove this so, begin to talk to an unsaved person. I mean, really start to get into a conversation with an unsaved person. Somewhere down the line, your paths will part because they believe one way, you believe another way. You believe in godly behavior, godliness, and holiness, and they believe in do whatever you want to do. Everything, you have a right to everything and to do everything. Nobody can tell you nothing. That's what they believe. Amen. Somewhere down the line, there's going to be a conflict. There's going to be a parting of the ways. Amen. It's like oil and water. It's just not going to mix. Amen. So if you want to hang, if you want to learn from wise people, be quiet. Amen. Be quiet. Why? Don't I have a chance to say what I want to say? You already know what you know. Like I said, you already know what you know. What you want to do is try to learn something new. And to learn, you have to be quiet. If you're doing all the talking, you're not learning anything. Glory to God. The Bible says the instructions of fool is folly. The Bible is right. Amen? Glory to God. And then in verse 23, it says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Glory to God. And then we come to verse 24, the verse I want to get to and talk about this evening. Verse 24 says, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Did you hear that in the King James Version? Pleasant words are as an honeycomb. Pleasant words are health to the bones. Amen. Glory to God. In the Positive Thinking Bible, it says, kind words are like honey. They cheer you up and make you feel strong. Amen. Kind words. The Positive Thinking Bible talks about kind words. But look at what the Jewish Bible says, the Tanakh. The Tanakh says, pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the palate, and a cure for the body. A cure for the body. See, it says a cure. It doesn't say the cure. Amen. It says a cure for the body. Imagine how good pleasant words are. They're a cure for the body. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. When we look at 1624 from the King James Version, look at what pleasant words do. Look at what pleasant words can do. They're sweet to your soulish realm, and they're health to your body. They're health to your body. You want a healthy body? You want a healthy body? Oh, my God. You should be dealing in pleasant words. Amen? You should be dealing with pleasant words. Learn how to use pleasant words. I'm up against a break. Hold on. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Do you need tile installed in your home or business? Then John Robinson Tile, LLC is the company for you. We have over 60 years of experience installing tile. We do bathrooms, kitchens, and so much more. Give us a call at 803-529-0092. Check out our website at www.johnrobinsontile2.com. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, too. Just search J. Rob Tile or John Robinson Tile. We're licensed and insured and Schluter certified. If you need tile installed, we are your company. We believe in laying hands on everything that we do. That's John Robinson Tile Installation Service for new and old homes. Renovation of kitchens and bathrooms, installs all types. That's John Robinson Tile, the number 2.com.
John Robinson Tile, I recommend them. You know Pastor does. Yeah, you know, sometimes when you do commercials, people do commercials, but they haven't really experienced the product or know about the people. They just are doing the commercial. But I have seen Brother Robinson's work. He was gracious enough to show me some work that he had done. And I'm telling you, I had said to myself, boy, when I get my big palatial house, I know who's doing all the tile work in my house, John Robinson's Tile. I'm telling you now, Pastor, I've seen it myself. I can recommend him wholeheartedly. We're back to Proverbs 16:24, and we were saying, look at what pleasant words do. They're sweet to the soulish realm. Don't you need some sweetness? I mean, in this day and age with coronavirus and layoffs and, You know, they were saying tonight on the news that coronavirus things, some shutdowns were coming back. Australia was shutting down again, and there were some other places that were shutting down again. United Airlines is going to lay off hundreds of thousands of workers because of coronavirus. Amen. Glory to God. Sometimes I hear that so much, I have to search to find a channel or somebody that's speaking pleasant words, amen? You hear so many negative words, you need to find somebody that's speaking pleasant words because they're sweet to the soul, amen? Glory to God. Other kind, them kind of words, them words that bring worry and fear, they're grievous to your soul. They keep you on edge, amen? They bring anxiety into your system, amen? But look at what pleasant words do. They're sweet to your soul, and then the body, and then the Bible says they're health to your body. Amen. You should be speaking words that bring health to you and to your body. Pleasant words have the quality, the Bible says, of a honeycomb. They're sweet. Pleasant words are sweet. Now, do you want to be dealing in sweetness, or do you want to be dealing in ugliness, in meanness, in ugly? No, you want to speak sweetly to people. Amen? Glory to God. And a lot of people, they want to know, what can they do for others? Well, here's something that costs you nothing. What can you do for others? Speak pleasant words to them. Amen? Speak pleasant words. Speak pleasant words to that waitress. She spilled your water. Don't fuss her out. Say, oh, anybody can make an accident. Oh, anybody can have an accident. That could happen to anybody. Don't worry about it. That's not a big thing. You're doing just fine. In fact, a young man, I was at a store just this afternoon, and I was telling him, don't worry about promotion from men because God is watching you, and God will promote you if you do the right thing. And he said, you know, he said, I know that's right. I work as unto the Lord because I believe God will promote me if I do right. He said, and I'm careful how I talk to people and how I handle people. I'm very careful with how I, and I said, you're going to go far because God is watching you, and he's going to really promote you. Pleasant words, amen? Pleasant words. If you want to do something for somebody else, speak pleasant words to them. And what can you do for yourself? Speak pleasant words to yourself, amen? Sometimes, you know, we can be so hard, we can grace other people, but we can be so hard on ourselves. Amen? Are you hard on yourself? Oh, I can be hard on myself. If I really make a stupid blunder, sometimes I can tell myself, now that was stupid. Now what you just said, that was stupid. And I have known about once in my life, maybe twice, I actually smacked myself. I said, that was stupid, and I actually smacked myself, amen, because what I had done was Stupid. But what I'm saying is, not only can you speak pleasant words to others and bless them, sometimes I'll speak a word to somebody, a pleasant word, and they are so touched by it. Glory to God. You know, my granddaughter was saying that she was very nice to a lady, and spoke pleasant words to her. And do you know that lady said, I'll be right back. I'm going to the ATM machine. I'm going to get you a tip. So she went to the ATM machine, got some money, drove all the way back, and gave my granddaughter a tip. Why did she do that? Pleasant words. Pleasant words. Amen. Not only can you speak pleasant words to other people and make their day. Do you know flattery works? You flatter men. That's the big danger for men. The Bible warns time and time again that one of the weaknesses of men is that they're prone to flattery. They get beat up so much that when someone says something nice to them, I mean actually nice, that goes, so far with them. Tell your husband that he's a handsome man. Tell your wife that she's a beautiful woman. I can't do that. Why can't you? Pleasant words are sweet to the soul. They're like a honeycomb. Amen? And then speak to yourself. When you make a mistake, what do you say? Just say, a mistake. A mistake is just a mistake. That's all a mistake is. It's just a mistake. Don't say, you fail. I failed again. I messed up again. When will am I ever going to learn? I tell you, I can't do nothing right. Don't say that to yourself. Speak pleasant words to yourself. Say they put erasers at the end of pencils because they knew human beings were going to make a mistake. You know what a mistake is? It's just a mistake. That's all it is. It's just a mistake. That doesn't make you a failure because you made a mistake. I mean, who was it? Edison, when he was trying to invent the light bulb? Now, look at what he had to do. He had to find a material that would burn and give off light, but at the same time, it wouldn't burn up. Everything he knew, when you lit it, it would burn up. So he had to go and find a material that would light up, but it wouldn't burn up. And he went through over 5,000 things he tried. Amen. Five times. So people that's hard on themselves, you would say, "Oh, you failed five. He failed 5,000 times." No, he didn't fail. Amen. He didn't fail. Glory to God. A mistake is a mistake. That's all a mistake is. It does not make you a failure. It does not mean that the game of life is over. It just means you made a mistake. Back up. And in fact, there is a school of thought that teaches that that's the way to success. Failure is a way to success. Why? What do they say in the world? This is what the world says. If at first you don't succeed, try and try again. I guarantee you, if you're serious about something and you try and try again, after about the third time, fourth time, you're going to hit it and you're going to make success. You're going to be successful. Read about Abraham Lincoln's life. Abraham Lincoln had so many failures. I keep it as a moment because when I make a mistake or I mess up with something, I don't get discouraged. All I got to do is read about Abraham Lincoln's life. I mean, he failed at so many things. When you read the list of things he failed at, it makes you want to cry. It does. I would have gave up at failing at as many stuff he failed at. He failed at a bunch of stuff. He tried running for stuff and lost races, lost in school, lost in jobs, was sick, lost his first wife, lost. I mean, the man, I'd have said, you know what? This life just ain't for me. It ain't made for me to. But he kept it. He kept staying. He persisted. Amen. He persisted. And guess what? One day, bang, he ran for the president and it worked. He was elected. He was elected after about 35 or 40 failures. He was elected. Amen. He made it. He recognized, glory to God. And I can imagine He wasn't walking around saying, I'm a failure, I'm a failure, I'm a failure. I messed up, I messed up. No, he was walking around saying, I'm going to try again. I got to hit it sooner or later. Sooner or later, I'm going to hit. Sooner or later. You know, on Wall Street, they even say, they're talking about stocks. They even say every dog has his day. Amen? Glory to God. So what can you do for others? Can you do for yourself? Speak pleasant words to yourself. Speak, because pleasant words will calm you down. Pleasant words will calm you. Pleasant words will calm you. Remember what Job's wife told him when he was going through? His wife said, curse God and die. And what happened to her? She was removed. He got another wife. Amen? Why? Because of those negative words. Those negative words sent her down the road. But a positive wife came. And I bet you the positive wife said, we could start over. Don't worry about it. And he got, what, twice as much wealth, got kids back, a whole thing. Amen? Pleasant words. Talk to yourself in pleasant words. They're sweet to your soul. Amen? You know, Watchman Nee tells a story of a woman who her whole life, her husband never said anything good about her, never encouraged her, never said pleasant words. And she was so worried about doing things correct because she thought that he was not pleased with the way she was doing it. So she was always worried about, am I doing it right? Am I doing it to his satisfaction? He never said nothing. Well, she literally, if you will, worried herself on the sick bed and she was dying. And when she was dying, he came to her and said, oh, honey, what are we going to do? What's the family going to do? You do so many things for the family, and you do them so well. And we're so pleased with the way you do all these things. And she said, why couldn't you have told me that? I'm right about to die. I'm right at one or two more breaths from dying. Why couldn't you have told me thank you or you're doing a good job or keep up the good work, anything? She said, why couldn't you have said those things? I worried myself to death. Glory to God. Why did he wait until his significant other was dying to say something nice? Amen? Tonight, glory to God. Turn to a significant other. Well, I don't have a significant. Turn to yourself. Amen? Begin to speak. You know, laughter doeth good like a medicine, the Bible says. Laughter. There was a guy, he was sick, very sick. I even, if I got the story right, I think, he had cancer or something. And so he went out and got a bunch of movies by Three Stooges, all kind of things that would make him laugh. Now, that's what he picked out to make him laugh. Put himself in a room, and that's all he played was funny things to make him laugh. You know that man got well. The cancer went into remission. That man got well. He laughed so much, it turned around his whole life. You know? It turned around his whole life. You know, you can. The Holy Spirit has been witnessing to me that if you're in a situation and you're looking for a breakthrough, praise your way out. Praise your way out. That's the word I've been getting lately in the past 2 days. Solid. Praise your way out. You want a breakthrough? The way out is through praise. You tried this, you tried that, so that might be a word for you tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Pleasant words. When you're talking to God and telling him how wonderful he is, because he is wonderful and he's worthy of your praise. God is wonderful. You want a wonderful one? Start thinking about your Heavenly Father. And then start thinking about the Lord Jesus who died in your place. Ain't nobody going to die in your place. He loved you so much that he died. Do you know when you love somebody? Look, don't parents say a child gets sick. A parent would want to have the thing put on them and suffer and let the child not feel the pain. If the child's in the hospital, the parent would want to switch places with the – why would a parent want to do that? Because they love the child so much. Amen? Haven't you ever been in a situation where you loved the person so much that you was willing to take whatever hurt, take whatever abuse, whatever? You was glad just as long as the other person didn't have to suffer that. I've been in that situation. Yes, sirree, if you love somebody. And God loves you so much he died for you in your place. Glory to God. Think on him. Praise him. Start praising him, glory to God. Pleasant words. Pleasant words for him. Pleasant words for you. Glory to God. You'll be healed. Your way out, your breakthrough is through praise. God bless you. This has been Pastor Williams. The Bible has the answer. The Bible is right. See you next week. I love you. Bye-bye now.
I know the Bible is right.
It's The Bible Has the Answers with Pastor Aaron B. Williams, coming to you live every Wednesday at 7 p.m. and Never Had It So Good Gospel 107. Pastor Williams believes if you have a question, the Bible has the answers. Join us Wednesday on the show or at I Am Jesus Holy Ghost Church in Columbia, South Carolina, where service times are Tuesday night prayer at 7 p.m., Sabbath Friday service at 7 p.m., and Saturday Sabbath day service